This is Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Retro Asylum podcast. Today, it's only just me, Glenn Atkinson. Today I want to talk about a computer. A computer that's not mentioned a lot on this podcast. We talk a lot about the 8-bit computers like the Commodore 64, the Amstrad, the Spectrum. We talk a little less about the Commodore Amiga and the Atari ST. But there's a computer that never actually gets mentioned on this podcast, and I think it should be mentioned more. And that is the PC. Now when you think about the PC, you think of IBM, Business, Microsoft, Spreadsheets, Word. And that's not entirely true. The PC did have a really lot of good games for it. And today, that's what I'm talking about. The PC. So what's my background with the PC? Well, in 1997, my mum and dad decided to get me a PC. Now, they decided to get me a PC because it was more educational. It was less playing games and doing your homework and learning and made my knowledge a lot better. But what I discovered instead, it was a really good gaming machine. Now, I'll be talking about the games later on the PC. But I want to talk about the spec of my PC at the time. It was a 1997 Packard Bell computer. It had the really reliable, I had a lot of problems with it, Windows 95. It had 48 megabytes of RAM. It also had a 3DFX Voodoo 1 Diamond Monster 3D card. Now, this was a very big part of the games on the PC, as the PC games later on took a lot of advantage of that. And it also had a Sound Blaster Pro sound card inside. Now, this was kind of important when you want to install DOS games on the system, because back in the day, you used to have to set up the sound on the DOS games. Oh, the headaches I had doing that. And when you're trying to test the sound, it then crashes the game. But later on, when the games became available on Windows 95, a lot of those problems went away. So what controls did I use for the PC? Well, you do have the option to have a gamepad. I did have a Sidewinder gamepad. But one problem I had with it, you got to configure the pad on Windows 95, and then you got to have to go into the actual game options and then select which button does what and what button does this and that. And it was just so time consuming, and I just couldn't be bothered with it. So at the end of the day, I just used the mouse and keyboards, because when you got a lot of the games for the PC, it was already like configured and set up for the mouse and keyboard. And it was one of those things. I got used to it. I got used to using the arrow keys for the feet and the mouse go around the display on the screen. And to me, that was the way I controlled games for years. Now, with today's game pads, they're a lot more advanced. They have like rumbles, more sensitive keys, and I find it a lot better playing games these days on a pad. But back in those days, I didn't mind playing with a mouse and keyboard. It's just a natural thing to do. Now, I want to talk about the main subject now, the games on the PC. Now, I have a list of 15 games I picked, what I liked. Some of them were released on more than one platform, some were released on the Amiga. Some were released on the PlayStation and Saturn. So it wasn't all exclusive to the PC, but it was games I remembered playing on the PC. Now, the first game I want to talk about is a really cool car combat game, Interstate 76. This game was developed by Activision. It was released in 1997. Now, I recently done a video on this, and I absolutely adore this game. You're these vigilantes in these cars. with guns and weapons on. And your mission is to avenge your sister's death. And you have to do these missions where you race along the road and you come back with these cars. Now, the old different weapons in this game, you have rockets, you have guns, you have oil that can come out the back and skid the cars all over the place. And they add all sorts of cool realistic features. You can actually look outside your car and look all inside the dash of the car. You can also switch your engine off. You can also damage your car. You can damage your engine so it doesn't start up very well. And your suspension and your guns can get damaged. I like all the motion videos they've got. It's a really, really good game. And if you've never played this game, try it out. Just try it out on your PC because it's a really, really good game. Now, the second game I want to talk about is a game that was developed by LucasArts. It was released in 1993 and the game's called The Day of the Tentacle. Now, this is like a point and click game. You cannot die on this game. And it's like a cartoon adventure game. It was developed on the Scum engine at the time. Similar engine that was made with Tam & Max. I believe it was the same engine. And it was like a sequel to Maniac Mansion. Now, this game has a really cool cartoon storyline at the beginning. You have the two tentacles come along. The purple one decides to drink the poison that was coming out of the mansion at the back. And then he became a genius, went off trying to take over the world. And then, all of a sudden, this hamster came along and delivered this letter. Nonsense. And Bernard, who was one of the main characters of the game, decided to go down and help release the tentacles. But he knew, by reading this letter, that the purple one has turned into a genius. And it could be dangerous to the world. But Bernard went down there anyway and released both of them. Oh dear, looks like the purple tentacle now has gone to take over the world. So the only solution now is to travel back in time and stop the pollution coming out the back of the building. Oh well, they had this like cheap diamond on display, and the three main characters in the time traveling unit, and guess what? That would have been such a short game if they would have went back in time and stopped it. One ended up in 200 years in the past, another one ended up 200 years in the future, and another one came straight back into the present. This is when the game begins. It's one of these games that you have to go around and you have to collect items, figure out clues. And there's also Maniac Mansion actually built into the game. I think it's in one of the rooms in the game. Now, I have never completed this game. And I'd love to play this game again and complete it someday. But I'm just never going to find the time. So I will leave it just there. It's a great game, but I really need to complete it. And that's why I chose it as one of my 15, because it's a game I do remember and I did enjoy it. Now, my next game is another LucasArts game. It was released in 1993, and the game is called Sam & Max Hit the Road. Now, this is another game that's a cartoon adventure point-and-click game. But I like this game a lot better. It's just a personal opinion. A Day of Tentacles is a good game, but I do like the storyline to this game a lot better. You have these two detectives, Sam and Max. You're a dog and a rabbit. It starts off, actually, with a very funny intro of this mad scientist kidnapped this girl and found out that the scientist is like a mad robot. But the silly thing is that they left the girl still tied up at the end. Anyway, that's actually not the main part of the game. You actually started off in this office and you get this telephone call for the commissioner. And then you have to find the letter that had permission from the commissioner to go into this carnival, because for some reason they shut. And if you don't have that letter, this stupid annoying fat man doesn't let you pass. That's mainly the start of the game, when you actually give him the letter and the permission from the letter from this mad cat. I think Max has to get his hand down and get the letter out of this mad cat that's in the street. And then the main game begins, really. You have these two people that obviously own
the carnival site, explaining that there's this person called Bruno the Bigfoot and this other girl that's Trixie the Giraffe Girl that has suddenly disappeared, and they want to find out where they've gone to. What I love about this game, it has all sorts of different directions and places to go, all different interactive things. Like in this carnival, you go on this crazy ride and you lose all your stuff, then you start discovering little bits and bats that leads up to the disappearance of Bruno the Bigfoot. But one of my favourite parts of the game is when you go through a swan ride and you meet this couch potato slob of a green thing. And then he decides to explain what really happened. Now, I don't want to explain any more about this game because I could be talking about this game all day. It is a really, really brilliant game. And if you haven't played this game, please check it out. It is fantastic. Now, the fourth game I'm going to talk about, it's a game called Quake. It was released in 1996 by ID Software. This game is a first personal shooter game. It is a very fun, you go around the level, you blast your enemies to death. It is a very, very good game. It was made by the same company who made Doom. Now they released a 3D effects patch for this game, and it does look a lot better. You know, the walls looked a lot nice smoothed out. It doesn't have any blocky bits of colour on the walls. And you can also run in high resolution because it's a 3D accelerator card, so the frame rate will be a lot higher than it would do on the software mode. But it's nice to say that though. On the software mode, it does look very nice as well. So if you're looking for a classical first-person shooting up game for the PC, I'll say get Quake. Now the next game I want to talk about on the PC, the fifth game, is Myth and the Fallen Lords, and it was released by Bungie in 1997. Now this game is one of my favourite games on the PC. It's like a 3D army game, and it's like set in like the medieval times. Now what I like about this game, it's not like a bog standard, you have bow and arrow men and swordsmen. There's all sorts of cool little things in the game. You have these like little dwarfs that go around that can blow up things. It's a really, really great game. Now the main storyline to this game is you're these troops and you have this evil, soulless dark side called the Fallen Lords, and they are trying to take over your world. Your main mission is to fight back with them, and they have all sorts of great different levels to this game. They have the first level that's called Crow's Bridge, and you have to defend it. And what happens is that all these soulless and all these evil army that comes out, and your mission is to defeat them and fight them back. Now, one of my favourite characters is the dwarf. They can lay down things called satchel charges, and they can absolutely blow them up. Now, just don't take my word for it. If you can find this game for the PC, and you like army strategy games, I believe this will be the game for you. It is a brilliant game, and I highly recommend it. Now, the next game I want to talk about, my number 6 game, Age of Empires. It was released in the UK in 1998 by, I may not pronounce this right, Ansible Studios. Now, forgive me, I haven't pronounced that right. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. But this game is, you have this map, and you have this group. And what you have to do, you have to build up this empire. Now, to build up this empire, you've got to go around and mine rocks and cut down trees, and you've got to go and pick fruit. And doing fishing for fish. And then what you do, you build buildings and you build up your empire. And then you start building up your army. Now, you've got to do this as quickly and as efficient as you can. Build up a nice strong army, because there's other armies, there's other groups on the map, and the main mission is to take over the whole map and win. Sounds very simple, isn't it? But I played this game back in the day with my mate online. It's a really, really hard game. And you've got to be very good at it to conquer the whole map. But I bet there's people out there that are fantastic at this game. And if you like these type of games, well, it's a game I recommend. I did enjoy playing this game. But you really, really must be good to play this game. Now on my number 7 game, it's a very cheesy game, but I liked it very much. It's Midtown Madness. And it was developed by Angel Studios, and it was released in 1999. Now this is a very cheesy racing game. Your main mission is to basically race cars around Chicago and win races, basically. But there's more to this game that I'm telling you now, because what I love about this game, it has like a free drive around part of the game. Now with this, you don't have any limits to ticking timers, you don't have any races, you don't have any objectives. Your main thing is just to go around and explore the city. Now that's my favourite part of the game, because I used to, as a kid, I couldn't drive in those days. I want to know what driving was like. And this is probably the closest thing to it at the time. So what I used to do, I used to pick a really fast car, and there's this motorway part of the game, I used to go down there about 90 to 100 miles per hour, and trust me police, I'm a very goody-goody, I stick to the 70 on the motorway, and it was a brilliant game, I really enjoyed it. It's a really good mess around game, and you don't have to just do that, you can also like drive buses, I believe you could drive a lorry as well, and you can also choose the level, the traffic on the road, so you can make the roads really busy, so you could just dodge all the traffic and get out of the way. It was really, really realistic game. And it was more, to me, it was more like a simulator than an actual game. But I really did enjoy it. And if you like those type of games, well, try to find yourself a copy, because I highly recommend checking it out if you like those type of games. Now, my number 8 game is Thief the Dark Project. Now this game was developed by Looking Glass Studios. Now this studio unfortunately has disappeared now, but at the time they made some right amazing game. This game was also released in 1998. Now for the time, when I played the demo of this game, because what I used to do in my youth is I used to buy PC game magazines and play the demo discs, and I remember playing this game for the first time. What made me laugh is you can hide behind the shadows and in the dark, and this guy can just walk past you and not see you. But if you stand in the light, he will see you and he will come round and kill you. Now another thing I like about this game is if you make a noise, he will turn around and investigate, and he will look for you, and I tell you, he really would look for you. And this is what I like about this game, it's really, really realistic. The AI at the time was absolutely fantastic. Now the main objective to this game is you are a thief. And you get into these castles and you get into these buildings and you steal gold, you steal precious stuff and you do missions. But the main thing is you do not get caught, you be a professional thief. You hide, you be quiet, you shoot your waterbone arrows at the lights to dim the lights so the guards don't see you. And it's a really, really fun game. I really, really enjoyed it at the time. And there's also little secret hiding places where you can hide and discover more stuff that's you want to collect, like gold and stuff. It's brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant game. An absolute classic for the PC. I do recommend to check this one out as well. Now my next game, my number 9 game, is Destruction Derby. Oh yeah, a lot of people probably remember this one because it was a pretty famous game on the PS1 as well. The game came out in 1995 and it was developed by Reflections Interactive. Now what I like about this game is you had a lot of games back in the days, especially like the early Need for Speed games or a lot of other games, you drive down the road really quick, you hit a massive wall, and your car still looks brand new. Now, if you did that in real life, your car would be smashed to bits. You're more likely going to be dead in real life. But in this game, you hit another car, you hit a wall, hit anything, your car smashes into pieces. And at the time when I looked at this as a kid, I went, wow, this looks really unique. This looks amazing. And there's all sorts of different modes to this game. They have like a mode that you go around and you hit your opponents and you get as many points as you can by spinning them around. There's like another mode where you race around a track and win a race. And there's also another mode where you're trying to dodge everybody from hitting you and you've got to last a long time on the track until you're completely smashed up into bits. Now, for the time, I really did like the cheesy music to this game. It has some really nice cheesy music. It has some lovely car-smashing sound effects. And it has a lovely cheesy commentary to it. Now, this game, you can still get it on the PSN network. That's what I got it on at the moment. On my PlayStation 3, so you can still buy the game. But if you can find the PC version, play the PC version, you do have to set up the sound. I suppose DOSBox and other emulated software these days will help you out there. Now, the next game I want to talk about is my number 10th game, Grand Theft Auto, GTA. It was made by DMA Design in 1997. Now, around about this time, a lot of the games were becoming 3D. And I remember walking into PC World and I saw this on the shelf and I looked at the back of the game and went, 2D game coming out. At this time where everything's 3D, it looks like something from the SNES days. But one day I bought a PC magazine, this was one of the demos, and I thought, well, I might as well try this out, see what it's like. Tried it out, I couldn't stop playing it. Why I couldn't stop playing it? Because it was the gameplay that matters. And this is what I love. You're in this city, you can do whatever you like. You can go around, you can pinch a car, you can go around and do these missions and commit crime. And when you commit crime, the police come and chase after you, you've got to lose the police. And this is what I love about this game. It is, you can do what you want on the map. There's no limitations. I write games like Midtown Madness, you could drive around the map, but you could not get out of your car. Unless you could just get fed up in your car, get out of the car and just steal another one. Now, another thing I love about this game, on the PC version, I don't know if you could do this on the PlayStation version, I could be wrong, but I know on the PC version you can actually play this online. And I used to play this game online with my friend. And you could play like a death match. You have to kill each other like 10, 5 times, whatever. And it was brilliant because we used to play that all the time and have laughs. And what I used to do, I used to park a car near the bridge, the broken bridge on GTA. And when they chase after you, you used to come fly over the bridge and hit the car and they'd blow up and die. And what I used to do, I used to also get a fire engine and wham the fire engine to my opponent and just blow them up. It is a brilliant game. So it's not just a brilliant multiplayer game, it also is a brilliant storyline game. And there's more than one city to this. I believe there's like 3 cities to this game. And one of them's called San Andreas. I've forgotten what the other 2 cities are called. So there's not just one city, there's like 3 cities to this game. So I highly recommend this game. I bet that everybody listening to this podcast would have played it sooner or later or played it in the past. But it's a brilliant crying game, and at the time, I really, really did enjoy it. Now, my number 11th game I want to talk about is a game on the PC that's a horror game, and I believe it was never released on any other platform. It was just a PC game. And the game was called Nocturne. It was released in 1999, and it was by Turnimal Reality. Now, this game is a horror game for the PC. You're this man called a stranger. And you work for this organization called Spook House. And what you do, you're given assignments and you go around and investigate strange things that goes on. And you come across zombies, vampires, goblins, all sorts of scary stuff. Now, one of my favourite levels in this game is when you're in a Texan town and there's zombies walking around everywhere, and your main mission is to find everybody and bring them back to the safety at the church. And that was one of my amazing levels in the game, and actually that appeared in the demo version. That actually made me bought the game, because when I first saw it, I saw the amazing shadow effects and I saw the amazing texture mapping. I went, wow, look at the realistic graphics. And I never seen shadow effects like that before in my life. Today, they're common in games, but back in 99, they looked absolutely amazing and realistic. It looks that realistic to me. I can actually put my hand on the screen and feel like I can actually take them out of the screen. It looks that brilliant. But that came with its downfalls. And the downfall is that you needed a monster of a PC to run it. Now, back then, my brother was only just about working, and he had a really good PC. And he had a Pentium 3 PC. And he can run this game with a very nice, decent frame rate. Now, on my PC, it was like a K6-2. And it ran it like 10 frames a second or below it. It was absolutely dreadful frames per second. So to actually run this game, you need at least a high-spec PC to run it because of all the graphical details. And I noticed there's little bits of bugs in the game. Didn't completely spoil the game, but I could have fixed that before it was released. But besides that, it has brilliant spooky music. It has brilliant sound effects. The character, the stranger, is character that is soulless, but he's good for the job. I recommend checking this game out. On today's PCs, it'll run very well. Now, the next game I'm going to be talking about, game number 12, is the original SimCity. It was developed by Maxis. It was released in 1989. Now, this is a very basic city simulator game. And I originally got this free with my PC when I first got it in 1997. Now, this is a very basic 2D game. And what I like about it is something so simple could be so much fun. You're this mayor, you run this city, and you've got to like balance the budget and run your city best as you can. Now with this, you've got to spend your money on the police, you've got to spend money on the fire service, you've got to make sure your roads are wide enough for all the traffic to pass, and when disasters happen, you've got to be able to fix your city, build the roads, build your houses, build everything back up again. It sounds very simple, isn't it? But it's not as simple as that. As if you spend too much, you have less money, and your city will just fall apart. Now, there's been better SimCities. There's been SimCity 2000 that was released later on. There's been SimCity 3000. But this is where SimCity originally came from. And this was the first SimCity game I bought. If you want to see how SimCity came about, I recommend playing this game. Now, number 13 game I want to talk about is a very cheesy airline game. It has that kind of effect on me. It's Airline Tycoon. It was released in 1998 by Spellbound. Now, this is very cheesy airline management game. You're in this airport. Yeah, it could be any airport in the world. You could be in London. Okay. You could be in Paris. You could be in New York. And your job is to run your airline. Now, there's all sorts of things you could do in this game. You can have a mission mode, where you have missions to have the most passengers in a certain amount of time. Or have a mission where you've got to clear all your debts before your competitors can.
Sure I have.
Or you can have, if you haven't already, like a free play. You have no missions, but really your main objective is to run your airline, make a profit, and you can sabotage your other competitors, so they will lose out.
I'd
Now, another great thing that I like about this game is it's not just a boring management game, because you could go into all different parts of the building. You can walk around the airport, and so you can go to the advertising department. There they are, laying around, drinking the tea, being a bit lazy, and you can ask them to advertise your airline. Or you could go down to the bank, and there's some money in the bin sometimes. You just pick it up, and the bank manager turns around, "Oh, what are you doing?" Oh, nothing. There's little bits of quirky things in this game I very much like. And another funny thing is, you could go into the maintenance part, and you can ask them about maintenance on your plane. And the rudest thing you can say is, "Will you not stop smoking in here, because it's not allowed?" Nobody gets upset about it. You can't do that now, it's illegal. But another great thing is that you can wander around your airport, and the time when your plane comes down to land at the airport, you can see your plane land at the airport, and you see all your passengers waiting at the gate, and you see them go into the plane, you see them take off. Now, with all that, you can also have shares in the company, so you can sell shares and you can make money that way, and as well you can buy your competitor shares and buy them out. And there's plenty of ways of making money in the game. You can have cargo routes, you can have set routes, you can set the price of the routes, how much they pay, or you can have like contracted flights. You could go to the desk and get like a contract, and you can fly a plane somewhere. So there's plenty of ways of making money. There's lots of quirky and really good things about this game. If you like a management game with slightly bit of cheesiness to it and a bit of fun, why not just check this game out? This is a very fun airline simulator game. Now, my 14th game is a very fun TV game. It is Mad TV. It was developed by Rainbow Arts, and it was released in 1991. Now, this is a very funny type of game. I do enjoy playing this. You're this man, and you fall in love with this woman called Betty. You go down to the TV station to hope to find love, to find her, to tell her how you feel. And then as you walk into the TV studio, one of the bosses or the management, was just the management of the TV station, got kicked out the window by the boss. And as you're walking up to Betty's room, the boss of Mad TV comes out and said, "You're hired to run my TV station." And that's how the game begins. Now, the main thing about this game is you've got to run your television station. It's another one of these simulator games I like to play. And what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get some TV programs. So you have to go up in around the building. It's like a point and click game. You can go around the building to all different rooms, and it's kind of like the same-ish as Airline Tycoon, but it's a TV simulator game this time. Each room has their own strange quirky things. Like, you go up into this room, you can hire tapes. Like, you can hire like Total Recall or Goldfinger, stuff like that, to put on your television station. Now, you think, "Oh, I've just put these on," but you've got to think about your audience. So you've got to buy a film, and you've got to put it on the TV station, but another thing you have to do, you have to go upstairs and buy adverts. And with that, if you get enough audience, they'll pay out. Now, you think that will be easy, but you can't always get that kind of an audience. So if you see like £30,000, something like that, but they want like 50% of the audience, your full capacity of the audience to watch it, well, that's going to be a very high order to do. But if you see one that's like 5%, but it's for a dog advert or something like that, but it's a very small payout, so you've got to take that risk with the game. Would you prepare to take the risk? It's going to be, you've got to get a big reward if they get all the ratings, but if you get very small amount, you get a small amount paid. So the game is very hard to actually make money, but there's a lot of risk in this game, and if you're prepared to take the risk, it'll pay you off. Now, the main thing in this game, you've got to find TV programs that Betty likes, so she will eventually will fall in love with you. Because that's the main aim of this game. You've got to make Betty fall in love with you. And you've got to show the programs she likes. And as well, keep the boss happy as well. And there's all different things you could do. You could put today's news on. You can make your own TV programs. And there's a lot of things to do on this game. It's a really, really great game. And if you run out of money and the boss doesn't like what you're doing, you will get sacked. And that's game over. Now, you don't just have that as well. You have your competitors that's in your building. And they'll be showing their programs as well. And they may pinch some of your audience away. So you've got to compete against them as well. Another thing you could do, you can also expand your audience by buying more masts and put more satellites in the sky so you could get a bigger audience. But remember, that costs you more money to run the TV station, and if you can't get enough money to run it, game over. So if you like a really good challenging TV simulator game, don't look any further than Mad TV. It's a brilliant game for the PC, and I highly recommend this one as well. Now, my 15th and final game I'm going to be talking about is Fade to Black, and it was developed by Delphine Software, and it was released in 1995. Now, Fade to Black is a sequel to Flashback. Now, you play a man called Comrade Hart, and you battle against the Morphs. Now, the storyline begins when you get caught by the Morphs and be put in the prison cell. But mysteriously, this man, John O'Connor, sets you free. It sounds like someone from the Terminator, but I don't think it's anything to do with Terminator with John O'Connor. And this game is, it's a really, really good game. I really enjoy it. But it's such a shame the PC version, it looks very, very blocky. Such as the PlayStation version, the graphics look, it does look a lot better on the PlayStation. I would prefer playing the PlayStation version. But besides of the graphics, the gameplay plays very well. Although the controls might get a little bit awkward at times, but when you get used to it, it doesn't matter. Now, another great thing I like about this game is it has a lot of cutscenes. So when you get killed, it shows a cutscene how you killed. Like if a laser hits you, it shows a cutscene you hit by a laser. Or if a piece of slime gets you, it shows the slime getting you, and that's game over. And there's a very funny trap in the game. On the first level, you go into this room, and this man puts his hands up and goes, "Don't shoot me, I'm just a cook. Get in there, it's safe." And if you fall for it, it goes into the fridge, and these moths come down from the roof going, "Ha ha ha, you don't think you could get away that easy, ha ha ha." And that's what I like. I like little tricky, little quirky things like that in a game. And also, when you complete the level, I believe that end of the most levels, there are cutscenes, like a movie type of thing, you know, showing you what's going to happen next and where you're going to next. It's a really, really great game. And I remember getting up to some kind of temple or something, and it says I'm not following the way of something. But that's the furthest I ever got on this game. I wish I could have played it a lot more and completed it, but I suppose there were no YouTube and I just didn't have the patience in those days. So that's all my 15 games. Hope you enjoy me rambling on and talking all about them. Quite a long session, eh? But what's my conclusion of all this? It comes to show that the PC had a lot of great games. And it had a lot of variety of games. It had simulation games, it had first-person shooter games, it had car racing games, it had games that was released on games consoles like Destruction Derby, and it stood up very well to the games consoles, and especially at the late 90s. To me, it was better than the games consoles because it had the power of the VDFX chip, and that really enhanced the games a lot. And what I miss about in those days is they seemed to not be afraid to be creative. To me, look at Mad TV. Very simple TV game, but to me it's been very creative and I never seen anything like that before. Or when I look at Myth, The Fallen Lords, I never look into a creative way of a medieval army game. And that's what I liked about those days. A lot of games seem to be creative, such as when I look in today's world. They seem to stick at a certain formula and just stick at it. And they don't always look out the box. Now, I'm not saying all games are like that today, but to me, a lot of games are like that today. And they should really look back at the past and think, you know, how could they make something unique and different and make it successful? And sometimes you're going to have to take risks. You know, sometimes you can make a game and it's a load of rubbish and it fails. Have a risk like they did with GTA. And look at the franchise today. It's going strong today simply because of GTA 1. Now, thinking from top of my head, I could have added more games like Network Q RAC Rally. Another fantastic game for the PC. I could have talked about that as well. Well, now it's time for me to go. And I like to say to everybody, thank you very much for supporting our podcast. I'd like to thank everybody for the Retro Asylum team. I also like to thank of people who give their donations. And I also like to thank the people who give us the iTunes reviews. You know, every iTunes review counts, everybody. Thank you very much. And it's now time for me to say goodbye. And I'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.